Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's the Greg Hill Morning Show with your host, Greg Hill. Streaming live from WEEI.com and the Radio.com app. Now, after 28 years on WAAF, it's time for the Greg Hill Morning Show on Sports Radio WEEI.
Are you okay with wearing the new helmet this season?
Yeah, it's kind of, they kind of spoke to me last year about it, and I've been experimenting with a couple different ones, and I don't really love the one that I'm in, but, you know, I don't really have much of a choice, so I'm just trying to do the best I can to work with it.
So it sounded like when Tom Brady was on the show last hour, unlike Antonio Brown, he will be playing with the new helmet. He won't be giving up on football.
Yeah, they allowed. Yeah, giving up on football, man. Antonio Brown. Last year they allowed Brady to wear his old helmet, and I know Antonio Brown did too. Last year you were allowed to sort of like have it grandfathered in and make a special request of the NFL as they tell everyone they want them to start wearing these new Riddell Speedflex helmets, which Brady kind of famously hates. He's not a fan of it at all. He loves, like you said, he loves his old helmet. Got four Super Bowls with that helmet. It's more comfortable, and these guys are creatures. These guys are creatures of habit as well.
Yeah.
So, but Brady's going to comply. I mean, he's not going to sit out the season. He's not going to go and tell people that he's bigger than the league and the league doesn't, you know, he doesn't need football anymore. Antonio Brown's meltdown has been incredible, Greg.
Yeah. I mean, he what did he say? Was it March when he said he doesn't need football, essentially? He doesn't need to play football, I think we have that audio.
I don't even have to play football if I don't want, bro. I don't even need the game. You know what I'm saying? I don't need to prove nothing to anyone. If they want to play, they're going to play by my rules. If not, I don't need to play.
You want the game now?
No, I don't. I want the game, but I don't need the game.
I mean, what a jerk! So, does he actually think that he's going to leverage the league out of this, and he's going to be able to do whatever he wants?
Yeah,
because he's Antonio Brown.
Yes, for that exact reason, he thinks he is bigger than the game, and that he should be able to do what he wants when he wants. I mean, this is a guy who comes into his first practice in training camp in a hot air balloon. He speaks continuously in the third person. He talked his way out of finishing the season last year when the Steelers needed him most for a playoff push and didn't even get to play. He was DNP'd in the final game. Mike Tomlin, who's a notorious players coach, told him not to bother showing up for that final game last season. I mean, he is every flavor of certifiable crazy. And the Raiders have to be so regretful at throwing all that money at him now, because who knows if he's even going to show up with his burned feet.
They're frostbit.
Frostbit.
Peter King this morning in Football Morning America writes that, you know, can you imagine what Mike Mayock, the new GM, is thinking with this football life for when he has this player? Hey, that's why he was available. He's a nut.
Yeah, like, well,
they should have known what they were getting. I mean, he was a malcontent with a Super Bowl champion Pittsburgh Steelers team that he could have helped, and he decided to just fly his way out of town.
Where's the Derek the Steelers fan call on this, by the way? It's like 7:13 and no Derek the Steelers fan call.
Call me Mr. Big Chest.
Big Chest.
617-779-7937 is the number if you want to be on this morning. The text line is 37937. It's Patriots Monday. Our first interview with Tom Brady occurred last hour. We'll get a rare content replay on that at 7:55, Curtis, right? So
yep.
If you miss Tom Brady, then you'll be able to hear that in its entirety coming up at 7:55.
It's still, you know, mid-August, summer to me, but for a lot of people now, we're back to football. Getting back to school, too, Greg. Now, did I see that you dropped the boy off? Your son got dropped off at school?
Yes,
on Instagram?
At Bentley.
Yeah.
I loaded everything up myself, physically carried it up steps and steps and steps and steps and steps over at Bentley because they're getting football underway over there.
So,
yes.
So they're back to football, back to school for the boy.
Yes.
Now, when you go visit him at Bentley, do you guys like to go out to eat or do you like to, you know, be one of the college populi, sit down and have a meal with everyone at the commissary?
I think you know the answer to that, but why do you ask?
Well, Princeton Review came out with their annual survey of the top colleges and universities in the country, and it's not just for academia. They judge the universities on a number of different, shall we say,
criteria,
comforts and criteria.
Yes.
And a lot of Boston schools did very well in terms of academia. Matter of fact, UMass Amherst, best school to eat at in the country.
Again. It's like the fourth year in a row.
UMass has the best food in the country?
Yeah.
Really?
It's the fourth year in a row that they won that accolade, UMass Amherst.
Top dining halls, best food in the country, UMass Amherst. However, you may have made the right choice taking your boy out to dinner because the ninth worst college to eat at in the United States of America... Bentley.
Oh, really?
That's the ninth worst.
Ninth worst.
What is the worst college food in the U.S. Occasionally there's some good pizza or something like that.
Oh God!
The worst is at Hamden Sydney College in Hamden Sydney, Virginia.
Yeah.
Simmons here in Boston came in at number four for the worst food. Fourth worst. Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Simmons didn't fare well across a number of categories.
And the worst office cafeteria is Entercom Boston.
Wait, you don't like to buy the sandwiches out of the machine? They look pretty fresh.
The chicken parm was here about a year ago. It still looks pretty good.
I'm surprised Wiggy hasn't consumed the chicken parm.
No, the chili dogs and everything in there.
Have you ever eaten anything out of the machine sandwich-wise?
Never.
No?
No.
Ken, have you? You have? No, you don't trust it?
No, Danielle brought me a box of chips. I'm set for life now.
Are you somebody who buys a sandwich at, like, if you go to a convenience store, will you buy, like,
I'll do that, especially, like, late night driving, yeah.
What about, like, an egg salad, or do you trust the egg salad or the tuna salad?
Depends how the stomach is feeling at that time.
Yeah.
Cumberland Farms has the 2-for-3, 2-for-4 chicken salads, egg salads.
Oh, yeah.
I bang those out all the time.
Sandwiches are great.
A little hard-boiled egg, chicken salad action.
Yes. Yeah, they're good, they're good. All right. Unfortunately, some of our local institutes of higher learning not doing well when it comes to the cafeteria
food. Not so much.
But the whole, I mean, that general category is not good wherever you are in the entire United States of America.
Right.
It's not good. No. All right. 617-779-7937 is the number if you want to be on with us this morning. Or you can text 37937. It is a Patriots Monday here at WEEI.
This is Boston Sports Station. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by the award-winning 2019 Honda CR-V. Many great questions of Brady this morning. My personal favorite, I think, was this one of yours, Greg, about the reactions, the facial reactions, the expressions Thursday night, Hoyer versus Stidham.
Are you surprised when you see or hear, for instance, a full discussion about the difference between your reaction to a Hoyer-led drive and a rookie quarterback-led drive?
No, I haven't even heard that.
Now, do you believe that he hadn't heard or seen that reaction over the weekend? Because call me skeptical. That's a guy who was nervous that he was caught on camera reacting poorly to Jarrett Stidham.
Oh, I didn't see that. That was the tweet that went round Patriots Nation Friday, Danielle. Yeah. And did
maybe stayed off social media for the weekend.
There's no way somebody didn't buzz in his little ear about it.
We have a little phone down family weekend. Come on, Greg. Oh, you know,
not only that, the answer was so obvious that he saw it and is trying to play dumb. He did it on purpose. Like he knew the cameras were on him and he did it on purpose because he's trying to make it clear Hoyer's this guy.
Uh huh. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
When he joins us at 7:55, I'm going to ask him that question.
Cut to Pittsburgh radio tonight. Yeah. Guess who's going to be on Pittsburgh radio tonight saying Tom Brady's facial antics tell us he'll be playing elsewhere next year? Old fake take Laird himself.
Uh huh.
Patriots organization, though, doing better than the Cardinals organization. How about over the weekend, their EVP and COO, Ron Minigar, I guess is how you pronounce that, arrested late Saturday on a DUI citation. Cardinals called his actions inexcusable. This is the year after their GM, Steve Keim, was arrested and suspended 5 weeks, $200,000 fine for pleading guilty to extreme DUI. So that is a bad trend. Steelers, by the way, lost their wide receivers coach, Daryl Drake, dying suddenly on Sunday at the age of 62. They've canceled practices Sunday and Monday. Patriots, their final two public practices of the year today and tomorrow at Gillette. Then they go to Tennessee for those joint sessions Wednesday and Thursday. Terrible weekend for the Red Sox. Let's not talk about it. They dropped two in a row. 7-10 tonight, the first pitch on the Shaws and Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. It will be Joe Castiglione and Mario Impemba on the call. This is the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
This is the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
Make up your mind. Decide to walk with me around the lake tonight. Around the lake tonight. By my side.
Coming up on tomorrow's show, our old pal Sean Thornton will be in the studio with us.
Excellent.
And Thorty is in town for his charity golf tournament today.
Nice.
In which I will be playing. And I believe Rachel Holt of Nesson wants to make some kind of a bet. So I don't know. We need to.
All right. Excuse to reach out to her.
Creep.
You're gonna dress up for the phone call, or do you only dress up when she's coming in the studio?
Every time I talk to her, I have to look good.
All right. Yeah. I don't know what you want to. I mean, maybe if she outperforms me on the golf course, then she has to come in and she can handle trending for Kenners. I don't know. We'll see.
For goodness sakes.
What for goodness sakes?
Well, just Ken.
All right, Brady boy, calm down over there.
Wow. Okay. That's how we're going to be, huh? That's how it's going to be. Okay.
All right. We should get to this.
It's time for...
Good morning.
The news.
Good news out of Orlando, Florida. Dale Earnhardt died.
With your host...
I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Danielle Murr.
Because I am good at three things. Fighting, screwing, and reading the news.
Brought to you by the Northeast Men's Clinic.
There's more good news today.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
News this morning is brought to you by Northeast Men's Clinic, specializing in the sexual health of men. Find out more at northeastmensclinic.com or call 617-793-5000.
Remind me, where are we on the existence of the Jinx? Have we confirmed it? Have we denied it?
I think the Jinx came along with us. Right. Yes. Why do you ask?
See the poor 13-year-old kid that got impaled in the arm by the beach umbrella over the weekend at Good Harbor?
Yes. We were talking about this last week, and he's going to be okay, right?
He's going to be okay. Thankfully, bystanders applied a tourniquet to the kid's arm right away. He was bleeding pretty profusely, but somebody had taken their beach umbrella, stuck it in the sand, didn't bother to try to secure it with anything. Big gust of wind comes along. Whoop, there goes your umbrella right into the poor kid's arm.
Yeah, I think they're more dangerous than sharks. I think you have more risk of being impaled by a flying beach umbrella than you do being injured by a shark in the water at
the
beaches.
I agree 100%.
Would you ban them, or would you fine somebody if that? I mean, first of all, I think the simple... engineering nature of the product is that it's not going to stay in this. I mean, yeah, unless you dig it 5 feet down into the sand, it's not going to stay there.
And nobody bothers doing that. And for a measly $9.29, Greg, you can go to Amazon.com and get a sand anchor or something of the like, an orange screw for $14, and secure your umbrella so that this doesn't happen. These things are like death javelins just waiting to fly from the sand and land in someone's arm. I've seen it land in someone's ankle before.
Well, last summer there was a woman that was killed by one, I remember correctly, in New Jersey, I think. Yeah.
Well, I bought one of these at Crane's Beach, and it was expensive, but you're right. It had this really sharp point, but it works well. You have to just really grind the thing into the ground, but
you can't afford to have the sun get on that bald head of yours.
I want them to be banned because I can't figure it out. I've tried it like 10 times. I am the least handy person on the face of the earth. I cannot get a beach umbrella into the ground and stay for more than 30 seconds.
Well, you may need to hit the gym occasionally. I think it might be a strength issue.
My wife doesn't. She's actually able to do it. I'm sitting there like a loser.
So we discussed last week how ESPN had pulled the trailer for the movie The Hunt.
Yes.
And now there's an update on this. Universal has decided they're actually not going to release the film following the two mass shootings that happened in Texas and Ohio. They said it was a very tough call for the company, but they've scrapped the September release date and they haven't come up with any alternative, at least not that they've announced.
Well, how do you feel about this? I mean, is it for good? I mean, is it gone for good?
Seems like it's gone
so
for
they,
good.
So they spent, what, $20 million, $30 million on the
it's
movie?
Stupid.
Yeah.
I understand curtailing the advertising and what you have to be very careful of, you know, the climate, what's going on, and obviously be respectful to the people who have been affected by this. But it's a movie.
Yeah.
It's a movie. There are a lot of times that movies either mimic or shadow real life or things happen. It's Hollywood.
Yeah.
You know, I would have been interested to see this film just because I like, you know, kind of like the psychological thriller aspect of
it.
Well,
when are they going to decide that it's okay? I mean, you know, so whether it's the Purge mm-hmm. or, I mean, we're not going to stop all films that have any kind of gun-related violence in them, right?
I can't imagine that we would, but I mean, they've pulled this.
Yeah.
They said, we're just going to cancel it and that's it. We're done.
Yeah, but in John Wick 3, there wasn't a scene where John Wick went hunting deplorables. He was trying to escape Manhattan and make it back to the Continental. I don't think he was hunting pro-Republican people.
So you're saying it's the right thing to do because that was what the movie was about.
I am the last person to want to think the government could have any say in creative or artistic license and censorship. But considering the culture and climate we're in right now, I'm kind of okay with this.
Well, you would be in favor of the government being able to tell somebody that they can't put their movie out?
I said I'm the last one to be able to. Right now, given what's gone on and who is citing who as inspiration or rationale for their gun-related violence, this person's pro-Bernie, this person's anti-Trump, I wanted to hunt this nationality, I don't like this ethnicity. Mm. The last thing we need is more violence inspiration.
Yeah. Yes, Curtis.
I think it shouldn't have to go to the government to make this type of decision. I just think the climate right now, the common sense should prevail on its own when it comes to this.
Well, I think it is, and so NBC Universal is saying we're gonna shelve it and we're not gonna put it out. We don't want it.
Not even a soft release. Not even straight to it. You know yeah. whatever.
Yeah.
So, big problem in Wellesley, the Old Town Road sign has been stolen. I think 6 times in the last 4 months. And Wellesley has stated they're no longer going to replace said
sign.
No, they're not going to. Of course, Old Town Road, the massive hit from Lil Nas X, which has been just cruising along at number one on the charts forever and ever now.
Set a record. We were talking about it a couple weeks ago. It set a Billboard charts record.
It did, yeah. So Wellesley said, at this point, I think... they're in the hole almost $1,000 for the replacement, not including the cost of the workers who actually have to go plant the signs back into the ground.
Uh-huh.
The Public Works Communications and Project Manager, Stephanie Hawkinson, said, "We hope the publicity over this sign issue will help individuals realize this is a costly prank, and removing the sign can be critical for first responders who have to locate the street in case of emergency. So knock it off."
Yeah, stop stealing the Old Town Road sign. How much? So those signs are like $300 a piece or something like that?
Yep.
Yeah. No. All right.
Not cheap.
Not cheap. Yeah.
There's a Virginia man who's in stable condition after falling inside his home, and he lived for 5 days on Coca-Cola only.
Really?
Survived on Coke. Glenn Smith is his name. He's from Arlington, Virginia. He fell in the kitchen and couldn't get up. He's an older guy. And the only thing he could reach was Coca-Cola. So kept drinking it. A mailman noticed that there was a pileup of mail at the front door, which was unusual. So he called police and paramedics for a well-being check. They go over. They find the guy in the kitchen. He was transported to the hospital, and luckily he's going to be okay. His neighbor said he was horrified to know that the man had been stranded for 5 days in his kitchen, and he's now going to be doing routine checks on the man.
Well, can't you use Coca-Cola as varnish remover as well?
Sure.
Or dissolve a tooth?
Yeah. Yes. Get the rust off a bumper?
Yes.
You should drink Coca-Cola for a living? I mean, that's poison for kids. kids.
We have some redneck audio, which I think is probably the audio of the week. The man from West Virginia commenting on the tree that was cut down and crushed a woman's car.
Yes, I saw this. This is excellent audio, excellent local news audio.
Yes.
The town workers in, where was it, West Virginia?
Huntington, West Virginia.
Okay. The town workers cut a tree down and it landed on a lady's car.
Yes.
And they went to get some eyewitness audio from this guy, and it's award-winning audio.
It sounded like a beer can getting flattened. It just was crunch. It was, I hate to say it, it was kind of cool, you know? I mean, what guy doesn't like, you know, destruction? Yeah, you know, that's why we go to demolition derbies. But, hey, you know, bottom line, that's that poor girl's new car, and she can't get to school now.
By the way, probably the last place in the country where the demolition derby is still big is West Virginia.
You don't love going to the demolition derby, Greg?
I haven't been in quite some time, but I'm sure it's still fun.
Kamali Crunch.
Yes,
I'm going tonight. It's in P-town. It's gonna be awesome.
Curtis, different place.
Wasn't the Malachi Crunch? Was that the Happy Days one?
Kamali Brothers.
No. It was the Malachi Brothers.
The Malachi Brothers?
Yeah, it wasn't the... you can look that up. I think you're way off, Nick. You're still focused on what Tom Brady's greatest throw was.
I might be Brady-rattled.
Greg's right.
I'm correct, right?
Damn it.
You're never going to beat me on a Happy Days reference,
not so much.
Ever.
Yeah. Miley Cyrus and her husband Liam Hemsworth have split after 8 blissful months of marriage.
That's it? 8 months? They only made 8 months of marriage, huh?
8 months. They issued some fakakta statement through their reps saying, they're changing as individuals. They have different career paths. However...
What, was it a conscious uncoupling?
Like
Gwyneth Paltrow's?
Yeah. There were a lot of rumors swirling around that Liam Hemsworth had reportedly gotten tired of Miley's face licking and grinding up against people. I think at the Met Gala, if I remember correctly, she was like getting all up on Brody Jenner's ex-wife or some Hollywood celeb people. But why does
Liam Hemsworth have an issue with that?
Because he wants her to be classy, Greg.
Oh, he wants her to be classy.
He wants her to be classy.
So he married Miley Cyrus, and yet he wants her to be classy.
Well, like many people, Greg, you think you can change them.
Didn't he know what he was marrying? I would think he knew what he was marrying.
You would think so.
Yeah.
You would think.
Yeah. All right. Well, thoughts and prayers to the Hemsworth Cyrus families, I guess.
Let's get to How Creepy Is It?
Creepy.
The Greg Hill Morning Show presents...
You think I am a creepy guy?
How creepy is it?
It was probably the creepiest thing I've ever seen.
Can I put a camera in the lady toilet?
Back up, you creep. Nowhere is safe now, not even the airplane restroom. A Malaysian man is facing video voyeurism charges after he allegedly planted a hidden camera on a United Airlines flight in the bathroom. Chunping Lee is accused of planting the camera on United Airlines Flight 646 from San Diego to Houston back in May. The FBI investigators on the case had to go to great lengths to track him down after a passenger on that flight stumbled on the camera. A woman flying in first class went to use the bathroom and noticed a blue blinking light located near the cabinet and wall area close to a door hinge. She picked up the item with a paper towel, gave it to the flight crew, and when they landed at Bush Intercontinental, the corporate security team took it over. They did confirm it was, in fact, a video camera. And as is often the case with these types of stories, the very beginning of the footage showed the man and his face and his clothing positioning the camera in the bathroom.
As a woman, do you now, when you sit down to do your thing, do you now look for like a blinking light, like a red light?
I have my head on a swivel.
Do you expect that there's going to be a camera in every restroom that you use?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm always looking for things that are out of place. It's like, you know how some people, when they go grocery shopping or to the gas station, and they always check the little credit card slide thing, so in case there's one of those skimmer devices on there.
Yeah, I never
always
do that.
I don't do it either, but I know a few people that will jiggle the thing to make sure it's not. Yeah.
Do you cover up your when you're putting your code in at a gas pump or something? Like they tell you to cover the whole thing up? Do you do
the pin shield?
Yeah. Do they have binoculars like in some 12-story building across the street? Like where are they? I look around. If I don't see anybody watching, I don't know. Where are they stealing it from?
Nonstop paranoia. Someone's going to see that and then go down to the machine and then get the cloning of the magnetic strip right there. I've had that happen before, too.
Really?
At a coffee shop in New York. I used my card a day later. They called me and they're like, Mr. Stevens, were you purchasing rugs at a Walmart in Florida?
Sound like a beer can getting flattened.
For real.
Really, for real.
Apparently, I bought $529 of rugs at a Walmart in Florida that same day.
This is Steve from Vermont. What's up, Steve?
Ken, I got a question for you. I don't suppose you was on the beach this past week and accidentally stabbed a kid with your umbrella.
That kid with the page? No, I didn't. Nope.
No.
Do you have a video of it, or say they weren't there?
Is this about Ken's fake takes? Is that where you're going with this, Steve?
Yeah, it's about Ken's fake takes. clearly, when you watch the video, Tom Brady is saying, "Was that good?" And Tom Brady from the sideline was so on spot with his eagle eye that it wasn't. The touchdown was over. Was overdone, and they had to go out for another play, and then they scored a touchdown.
So now you are blaming me for internet memes, which started immediately after the visible image of Tom Brady in disgust Thursday night.
Yes, and it was him saying, "Was that good?" Because it wasn't a good touchdown. Hmm. But like a pit hole, you'll take that, and you'll further it on. This is how we get in trouble here. Stop talking to Pittsburgh.
Ken doesn't buy the answer that Tom Brady gave us about that. Why? Because of the laugh? You think he's fake laughing? Is that what you think it is?
Nervous laugh? I've heard that one before.
No, I haven't even heard that.
I mean, come on.
What do you mean? He hasn't heard. Why? How would he hear that?
How would he not hear that? How would he not see that?
But he's not paying attention to a bunch of people, fan or sports radio wise, who are trying to analyze his reaction to two different quarterbacks leading touchdown drives. I mean, he's not interested in that. Why would he be?
The Patriots are aware of everything. Fitzy will tell you, Burge, and who's the other guy that follows Bill Belichick around? I mean, they have people that are like, this is their job, they're full time employees. And their job is to point out things that are happening in the public.
Yeah, Stacey James is on everything. He's a great PR rep. Burge, obviously, is the man behind the man. Think of like the Michael Kelly character from House of Cards, if you will. Also, Ernie Adams is the secret brain trust there as well. Yes, I'm aware that they know everything. And Brady's social media team is really savvy. But there is less than a 0.0% chance that he has seen that and said, oh, those are bad optics, Tom. Be super excited next time Stidham throws a touchdown.
Oh, come on. You don't think Belichick, if this was legitimate, that it was like by accident, you don't think Belichick would pull him aside and say, Tom, knock it off?
Are you nuts?
What is he gonna
it's a
direct?
Distraction. It's now become a distraction. They do everything in their power to eliminate distractions.
So Bill is going to take time out of his day today to direct Tom's emotional reaction when others are scoring touchdowns.
Well, Burge will. Yes, Burge will have a packet for him at his locker.
All right.
Hey, yeah. Greg, maybe in the post-show meeting or the crossover, you can relay to Dale, who can then relay down to OMF, to please ask Belichick that, if he'll do that with Tom this afternoon.
Yeah, well, that is true. It's a Patriots Monday, and Bill Belichick joins the guys this afternoon. This is Derek, the Steelers fan. Derek, good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
What's happening, Derek?
A good interview, Hilldog. I thought you did a good job.
Thank you.
The only question you missed was putting his feet to the fire about the riff with Belichick. And I wish you would have done that. It was a perfect interview for it.
Well, I mean, if you want to analyze that, he said he said a couple times that he's, I'm paraphrasing here, but he's looking forward to playing for the organization with Mr. Kraft. He always started with Mr. Kraft. At one point he went Mr. Kraft and Jonathan Kraft, and then he got to Bill Belichick.
The force pushed Bill's name into it because he knows everybody's going to analyze it.
Yes.
So for you to say he doesn't pay attention is, you know you're wrong. He, especially him, he's the most sensitive athlete this town's ever had. Okay, God. He plays the role. I don't, you know, I'm in the car listening to music. You know, I got my Zumba instructor in my left ear. No, he listens to everything.
No, he doesn't.
And he's Steven, not. He's... I mean, what a puddle.
What?
You know, Chris Farley, like, in the corner.
Yes.
Tom, you remember that time? It was awesome.
I know.
Like, I mean, please.
Remember when you were with the Beatles? That was awesome.
Yeah. It's called knowing your role and staying in your lane, buddy. And oh, hey, how was the time that you were on FM radio in Pittsburgh and asked a question of Roethlisberger? Oh, wait, you didn't. So shut it.
Oh, you got me there, kid. Like, you got me there, bud. I'm going to lose sleep about this one all day. What's up, baby?
We are going to get a rare content replay on the Tom Brady interview coming up in, what, about 10 minutes, 10 or 15 minutes or so?
Yep.
All right. So it's Patriots Monday, rare content replay on Tom Brady, who is on the show during the 6 o'clock hour, coming up shortly.
This is the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
Something we've been doing the whole season. We've been talking about it, been inconsistent. And that way, it's tough to make it to the playoffs.
The old town road, I'm going to ride till I can't no more. I'm going to take my horse through the old town road. I'm going to ride till I can't no more.
I got the horses in the back. Horse stock is attached. Head is matted black. Got the bushes black to match. Riding on.
Well, that's Alex Cora. And Ken is yet to give up on his Boston Red Sox, his beloved Boston Red Sox.
Only 8 out in the loss column. That's not bad.
Just 8 out in the loss column. That's it. I mean, when are the diehards going to call it a season? That's my question.
Felt like yesterday.
It felt like last week for a lot of them, I think. But, I mean, I don't know. I guess you believe in, if you're a real fan, you believe until the end.
Well, what's concerning me now? A couple things. Cora yesterday puts Chris Owings as the leadoff hitter. They give Mookie a rest. I feel like there's like self-sabotage going on here. I don't understand it, but I'm going to get to the bottom of this conspiracy theory by the time the week's out. But the team is still trying, but yesterday it just doesn't make any sense. This guy makes his Red Sox debut, goes 0 for 5, 3 strikeouts. He's a 133 hitter earlier this year. What is Cora doing? I don't understand.
Is he untouchable in this whole mess?
I mean, yes, unless there's something nefarious going on behind the scenes. You know, he's gone out, which I don't think, I haven't heard. So, yes, I think so. Dombrowski's out, clearly. That's
it. That's a done deal.
Done deal, in your opinion. Because Shaughnessy wrote that big story about how he's isolating himself. There's been no reaction from the team, no response at all. I mean, he's gone.
And that could be bad for Cora because there's a new guy in charge of baseball when Dombrowski's out, and sometimes those guys want their own manager. So Cora may be on a hot seat next year with a new president of baseball.
Is it going to be Larusa?
I don't think it'll be Larusa because he's close with Dombrowski.
Oh.
And so I think if Dombrowski's out, Larusa's gone. I think there's a chance that they go after Theo. I don't know how they get it done, but this ownership group loves big splashes. They've always loved Theo. Lucchino was the issue with Theo, and now Lucchino's gone, so there's
a chance. They traded for Farrell before. They've done some crazy things like that. Or they could wait a year with Dombrowski, ride him out, and then wait for Theo to be
your
closer.
But isn't Theo happy in Chicago?
I would think, you know, they doubled salary. He's happier here, but I don't know, Theo. You know?
The Cubs are on their way to the NL Central title. Theo's had a pretty successful record the last couple of years. Got a good young infrastructure there. I'm just more amazed by the entitled town. What have you done for me lately? You bring in Dombrowski. He's only been here a couple of years. He does exactly what he normally does, trades prospects for major league talent, and delivers a World Series championship, Greg, the fourth this century.
Yes, last year.
But the next year, he and the manager both have a bit of an off season.
A bit of an off season?
You're going to get fired the next season? Yeah, they're only 4 games above 500 with the highest payroll in baseball. It's frustrating for the fans. Nationally, it's a little embarrassing. But how about just maybe we have a mulligan and they get a chance to run it back next year? Then you make the big decisions.
How hard is what Dombrowski did to do? I mean, you literally just open up a check, give Price whatever he wants. You trade all your top prospects to get a good player. I mean, I feel like that's not the most difficult thing to do in the world.
Well, Ben Cherington did the same thing, and they gave him more time than they're going to give Dombrowski.
Well, he took all of Cherington's draft picks to make the moves that he made. It wasn't like he did that himself.
Cherington did restock the farm, but he also signed 2 of the 10 worst contracts in the history of the Red Sox and still was able to stay on for a couple extra years, mostly because the Dodgers bailed his ass out with that incredible trade.
So are you saying, when you talk about entitled town, are you saying that the expectation is so high, and I assume you're talking about fans?
Yes.
Okay, you're not talking about media.
No.
You're talking about fans. The expectation is so high that normally he would get a pass on this because of what happened last year, and he'd get another couple of years.
2014, Red Sox were a garbage fire. You didn't hear everyone getting house cleaned after that. Right now, the expectation is so high. The Duck Boat Central, we need another parade. We got to win. We got to be the best. But that comes with our inflated expectations and this massively inflated payroll in the Sox as well.
Did you listen to Ken doing what did you think?
Ken?
Yeah.
Sounded
basically fine, like the bullpen.
Yeah.
Or did you give him a soft six, or what was it? Was it a?
Oh no, Ken's professionalism. I'd give him a hard nine.
Where was Will? What happened to Will?
Yeah, Flemball took the weekend off. I don't know where he went.
How does he take the weekend off? That's his only gig, isn't it? This is baseball season.
It is 162 straight. He's got a young child, and I don't blame him for that. Plus, I need a little profile, you know.
Yeah.
How did Dale?
How did Mrs.
That's my favorite thing on this show. The high-pitched laugh from the Statler and Waldorf booth.
How did Mrs. Castiglione feel about your performance? Did you get a review from Jan?
I didn't get a review, but Joe did brush up against my leg once. It was a nice moment, yeah.
He did?
Yeah. We had a brief moment.
You got the brush?
Yep.
All right. Well, it's Patriots Monday here at WEEI. That means that you will get to hear Bill Belichick this afternoon on OMF. And you got to hear, if you were listening during the 6 o'clock hour, Tom Brady on this show this morning. If you weren't listening, we'll get to a rare content replay and hear that Tom Brady interview from earlier this morning in its entirety coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.